ears.
I do.
Woohoo! Let's bounce!
I just saw the most preposterous imposter. Look at him.
Tigger! Eeyore! Piglet!
If anyone wants to clap, now is the time to do it.
Oh, Bala.
Oh, dear, dear.
I don't remember being cheery.
People say nothing is impossible, but I do nothing every day.
No, Pooh, that's not the... Oh, never mind.
Amen. That's a good movie, isn't it? Amen. Yeah, I hope you get to watch it. If you haven't watched it, it's one of those movies that you're, even adults, it's a movie for all. And we'll speak of that in a moment today. Let's welcome our first-time guests to Living Faith Church. Come on, give them a big hand. Welcome them. We're thankful that you're here. We're so honored. Again, you probably passed 20 churches just to get to this church, and you wound up here. So thank you so much. We're honored that you're here. It'd be awesome to meet you. I'll probably be in this area or that area, but please let me shake your hand, and we're grateful that you're here. If you could check in on your social media devices today. I need to get my lips, my tongue right. I ate something real quick, and I think it's not washed down, so that's my problem, okay? But check in, social media device, say something of faith. Some of y'all took pictures, selfies in the second service. I promise, first service, if they did a selfie, I would like it. And I'll even comment on that. Like, look at those two beautiful people. Or if you're a solo act today, look at that person. I'll just say something like that. I'll just say something, amen. Just take a picture of yourself if you'd like. And with your family, we're just so glad and excited that you're here. They always say I drop my phone too hard, so... There it goes, amen. Not too hard there. Let me turn it over because sometimes messages come and I don't want to see them. They mess me up. How about you, right? They get me distracted. We'll talk about distractions in a moment today. Next slide is our Connect Lunch. We're doing that next week, next Sunday. You'll be in the sanctuary actually with me immediately after second service. And we want to welcome you here if you haven't been part of the church in that sense. Join the church. This is our church family meeting that we come together, and this is how we show you how to become a member of church, of Living Faith. We don't do 20 classes. You do one lunch with me and Irma, and we just talk to you about our values, how we really didn't begin the church. We even tell you the story how we didn't begin the church in our living room in 20 years ago, but how we began really in the 1920s. And I know I look good for that age, right? We began with a lady by the name of Amy Simple McPherson. In the 1920s, she began feeding homeless people in Los Angeles, California. And from that, birthed a church called Angelus Temple. And it began a worldwide movement that God is using. And that's how we really began. That's our great-great-grandmother in the Lord. And we'll even show you a video clip of her and how famous she is and what she's done for the Lord and how her legacy lives on. Talk about outliving yourself. She certainly did, right, everybody? So be part of that. Sign up in the foyer right outside the door. Let us know that you're coming. We'd love to welcome you into the church family. And we're Living Faith Church, faith that you can see as we come on. Shout it out. Gather, grow, and let's welcome live the Facebook audience. Come on, give them a big hand. Make sure that you share the message if you're here a couple of times over. Amen. You have different Facebook accounts, aliases, and so forth. Share them on there. I'm just messing with you. And just do that. Tell them that you're part. There's just a good word that you can share with somebody that will change their lives today. Do you have your message notes handy? They're waving at me to make sure that that gets done. If you don't, raise your hand high. We have great men that are helping you. Do we have somebody in the back? There she is. Amen. What a blessing. Yes. Amen. You got it ready. You're ready to go on. And God is good, right?
Amen. All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Yeah. What an amazing weekend Living Faith had, in the sense of not a sad one, but an amazing how leadership really showed up. And you were such a blessing to a bunch of people. About 150 people, I think, were here in the sanctuary yesterday. And just leadership showed up, tables and food, and they'll never forget your love. I can guarantee you that. They'll never forget what you did and how you served and blessed. I'm so grateful to be part of this church. It is just beyond. Irma and I just think this is the church not of our screams, like, the church of our dreams. We never would have imagined people loving like you love. We're so proud of you. Amen. You can see that it's messing with me, right, everybody? And so thank God for just people making it happen and loving people. Why do we do movies and we do them? Probably did a movie series if he was preaching. Oh, well, really? Yeah, because Jesus taught by parables. Remember the parables? He said a man buried something and he couldn't find it. Then he found it and he gave up everything to go after. They would have made a movie about that. Jesus would have probably referenced movies and saying, it's just like that movie, that's how the kingdom of God is. So what we're doing during the next few weeks is we're bringing movies and we're showing them to you and we're bringing truths, God's parables to you, modern day parables, and we're bringing God's truth to it. And so there's no better time for you to invite somebody if they're into movies. Who doesn't like movies? Right? Everybody loves to see popcorn and get the movies. What's your favorite what's your favorite snack to have while you're eating while you're watching a movie? Popcorn, of course. But I like the chocolate almonds in the popcorn. Somebody first service went, ew, that. But man, just that saltiness and that, man. Yeah, amen. There you are. How about a $100 bar or whatever? Anyway, we'll get that today. But everybody loves movies today. And Christopher Robin is our first kickoff. And it speaks of a workaholic father, a dad, a husband, and how he changes his life. And somebody say reset. He resets his life so he can love his family and his friends and get that dream back. So again, it's a movie for all ages today. Our lives are kind of like that, where our lives demand so much attention with our schedules, our workplaces. More often than not, our schedules are packed, amen, full of things that we should be about, very important things. So it's often difficult to include God in our lives because we're so busy. And you're here on Sunday morning. I'm not going to beat you up because you made it a priority to be here. But how about Monday? Is God forgotten about on the weekends and so forth? Jesus instructed his followers that if you do two simple things, not on your scriptures, not in your handout, but you remember them, the golden rule was, if you love me and you love people, you're going to be okay. Everything else will take care of itself. And it's like putting big rocks into a glass, and you try to put those smaller rocks in first, and they fill up in the big rock of loving God and then loving people. They don't fit because all these little rocks, my schedule, my time, my this, my that, my this, my, and the self that we're so self-absorbed in, they cloud out, they pack everything up in our lives that there's no energy, there's no emotion, there's nothing left spiritually that God could take its place because too many rocks have filled up the tank. Y'all get that today, right? And so today I ask you a question. Don't answer out loud. Don't answer out loud because nobody wants to stare at you today. Just think, or give me one of these. Raise your eyebrow at me. I go, but, if you're going to look back at me. And if you had 4 hours to do nothing, 4 hours, a block of time to do nothing, what would you spend your time doing? Think about that. Uninterrupted time just to do it. Christopher Robin encourages us in the movie To Do Nothing by Pooh, Winnie the Pooh. And Pooh says, sometimes the thing to do is nothing. And he loves, and he also says this, one of his quotes was this, they say nothing is impossible, but I do nothing all day long. I do nothing all day long. You had to watch a movie. So realize today, you can go in spurts. And God has this loving way of pursuing us when we're going full kilter, full blast, 100 miles per hour of slowing us down, doesn't he? He did it to me. He's done it to me. Where the wheels fall off and all I have is, God, why am I in this slump? Why am I going through this situation in my life? And God has a way of showing up and stopping us and saying, you know what? I love you too much. You need a reset in your life. You need to go back to the place that you knew I loved you, I could provide for you, and it wouldn't be all about you. There's resets in our lives that we see with our phones, right? A soft reset when that thing, that screen's not turning and you're trying to get it to turn, you're trying to get your app on or put that app, you know, put, and it's not working. You have to do, and it's stuck. Anybody ever had that problem with their phone? Yeah. You have to turn that phone off, right? Power it down and turn it. That's called a soft reset. You know what a hard reset is? When you go back to the factory settings. You might need to do that with your TV set now that they're smart, your computer, but especially sometimes with your phone. When you do the hard reset, you're going to lose all your contacts, maybe. You're going to lose all the things that you wanted, your favorite things that pop up on the screen, because it's going to go back to the way it was meant to be. And God has a way of doing a hard reset in our lives because He wants us to go back and reset our lives to the way it should be. We have all these things that get in the way, and God's saying, no, I want to set you anew today. Our daily routines would look different if God could reset us. Our attitude might be different because of our perspective if God could reset us right now. And I promise you, by the end of this message, if you receive it with a whole heart, because it's God's word, God can reset your life spiritually. And He can even transform it into the physical realm. You know why God loves resets? Because He's a heavenly Father. He doesn't want His children going off doing what they shouldn't be doing and so frustrated in life and not accomplishing things that they should accomplish in Him and going about it. God wants to reset us because He loves us today. Do you know that today maybe that our marriages need to be reset? Maybe we need to go back to the first love that we had, or the dating process that we had in our marriage, a new beginning in our parenting, on how we live life and how we parent our children today, a do-over in friendships today. Are you ready to press the reset button? Amen? Yes. Today, there's somebody that needed a reset in the Bible that we can pull out and we can look at. And it's a story that's true in Jesus' time in Luke chapter 10 on the screen. It's the story of Mary and Martha. And what I've noticed about a God-centered life is this, that God won't lead... God has a way of getting your attention when you're leaving Him out of your life. I don't say this often, but I will say it today. I have a message from God for you. Now you say all the rest of them that you did weren't messages from God. I do things and study real hard for you and do that because it's my job to preach every Sunday morning. Most every Sunday mornings, and get ready. And I know that God's going to show up because I've been diligent. But there are certain times that I get in the process of putting together everything, and I know, man, God, you're going to bless people. You're going to help people, not because of me, but because of Your word today. And I have a word for you, and if you choose to listen and hearken to the voice of the Lord, as it says in the Bible, God will speak to you, and He'll help you right now. I promise you. I promise you from God's word today. When you leave God out of your life, you're not going to succeed. If you leave God out of your marriage, out of your parenting, out of your church, we're not going to succeed. Do you recognize that? So today we bring God. See, it's like you're ruined for normal. When you say, I just want to go cruise and I want to... You get ruined for normal because God wants to come in and still be the center of your life. So going back to the way it was is not an option. You have to keep going forward in God today. Amen. And so God, you're not going to be satisfied with lukewarm Christianity. None of us in this room, if you tasted and seen what God will do today. There's powerful living in doing what God's told us to do. There's supernatural living. So we get closer and closer to Jesus today. Because that's the only way to live, so we can hear Him whisper to us and say, this is the way I want you to go. Don't be worried about that. Don't be so busy with that, because I have life for you. And in Luke chapter 10, it illustrates it, verse 38 on the screen or in your device or in your Bible. It says this, as Jesus and His disciples were on their way, and so Jesus had a group of people, they came to a village where a woman, somebody say Martha. She opened up her home to Him. Now this was Martha's home. It wasn't Mary's home. So when it's somebody's home, you want to make sure that you have it ready, especially if it's a group of people. You want to make sure the carpets are clean. Give me a good amen. Amen. That you have good food. Amen. Oh, that's a little bit lower. You're going to feed me some Chex Mix if I come over? Come on. You're going to do that. Give me some of those tamales you've been making. Come on. Yeah, you're going to want to make sure you're giving your best to people if they come over. And that's what this lady was doing. We don't need to dog her too much, but here's what she was distracted with. And so she had her sister called Mary, who was sitting at the Lord's feet. So Jesus is in the living room, on the lazy boy. And she was sitting at the Lord's feet listening. And that's what a rabbi did. The disciple would sit at the feet of a rabbi and listen. And Martha was distracted by all the preparations that she had made. She had made the fajitas, the arroz con pollo, amen. She had made the dressing. It was all good. And she came to him. She came to Jesus. And she said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all this work by myself?" And look what he tells her. Tell her, and she's saying, tell her that she's rebuking Jesus. Do you see that? There's always a woman. There's always some, it's always like something's going to happen. Amen. And so when Jesus says your name twice, be careful. And he, Martha, Martha. Man, has the Lord ever said your, man, I remember when God said my name twice. Mario, Mario. Yeah. The Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things. There's so many things that you're so upset. But there's only one thing that is needed. And it's so incredible what our loving Savior tells her. And he wasn't shouting at her. She was shouting at him, but he just calmly. I love Jesus because nobody got him on the other side. Do you know that today? We get off into the flesh pretty easy and show our God our face, but not Jesus. He did that probably with the Pharisees, the religious people, but and he did it righteously, not the wrong way, not in the flesh. But Jesus says, Mary has chosen what is better. And it will not be taken away from her. That worship that she's given me, that sitting at my feet that she's given me, it's not going to be taken away from her. There are three resets that we all need in our lives today that this story so illustrates that I want you to have. And I'll show you a clip of the movie again. So don't go to sleep, okay? Stay awake so you don't fall asleep in the movie theater, amen? Popcorn's all over you. I want you to resolve to do these things with me today, this year, before the year closes out so we finish right. Number one is this, reset to make the most of my life. Somebody say most of my life. In Christopher Robin's story, it's not that they're belittling the importance of work. You need to work because we have bills to pay, right? And we didn't work at this church. I mean, we didn't do the things that the things people wouldn't come. I'm just going to come up here and do anything I want. No, and the band rehearses. We all work hard because we want to do something towards our King that honors Him every Sunday morning that we come together. Our small groups work hard because we want to do something. We study God's Word so we can present it right. Amen? And so there's nothing. But if what if the 100 mile per hour life that we lived stopped all of a sudden for a moment, and we would stop enough to appreciate today, what's in front of us today, and we're not so worried about tomorrow. Because I got to do tomorrow, I'm running like a mad dog, I'm running like a maniac to get this done. And God's saying, no, it will take care of itself. Tomorrow will. There's enough to do today. And if we would just reset and recalibrate our lives to say, I need to get back to noticing the things that are important today. Right, everybody? And so one of the things I want to remind you of today is about your health. That God told me to do that today. That you would reset your life back to the healthy place that you need to be. Many of us in this room haven't gone to the doctor and got ourselves checked up and found that maybe there's something wrong with our heart. Or something, and there's nothing wrong in that. God heals, but also God's given us doctors, right? And so it's important that you go to the doctor and get yourself checked out, right? And if maybe you haven't taken a walk in a long time or exercise, and you get lightheaded just to tie your shoe. If that's you, why not park the furthest and walk the furthest and begin to walk around the block and eat right? In this season of... that we're going to eat a bunch. Gluttony. Why don't we back off a little bit because the tamales will be there later. Give me a good amen. And instead of eating a dozen, we only eat two. Give me a good amen. And we don't increase in that. We let God increase today. Amen. So reset about your health. Why don't you reset about your dreams? Many of you have had dreams in this church that are God-given and you haven't pulled the trigger. You haven't done what God's told you to do about your dream. And God's waiting for you to start that ministry or launch that business out. and this is the year, maybe 2020, that you say, I'm going to take God with me, and he's going to be my biggest business partner. We're going to do this together. You have an opportunity today. See, Jesus is in the living room. He's here. And you're in the kitchen because you're even thinking of stuff that you should be doing outside of this building and outside of the heart that God's speaking to you about. And you're already there tomorrow because you're not even concentrating on God's word. Be like that guy that leaves his cell phone in his car. So you're not worried about, it's going off, I need to answer it. No, you don't. They're going to be fine without you. That bondage that you're in, amen? Yeah, Mary was in the kitchen making, Martha was in the kitchen making tamales. And Jesus was in her living room. That's messed up. Amen. They can stay. They won't burn. Keep it on low flame. Amen. I'm getting to where Jesus is at. Amen. Amen. Martha was worried and she had so many distractions. Everything that you battle in the natural realm is a spiritual fight. And the quicker that you understand that, the further that you'll go in the kingdom of God. Everything that you battle in the natural realm, you're upset in your marriage, you're upset that something was said to you, your job, your workplace, it's a spiritual fight. And if you approach it in the flesh, you're going to die in the flesh. But if you approach it in the spirit, you're going to get resolution. You're going to get reset. And so you need to fight your battles the right way. One guy told me recently, I'm going to pick and choose my battles. Of course, that's been said before. I'm not going to get involved in that battle because that's not, I don't need to worry about that. And that was a smart thing to say. Probably going away and praying about it was even better after that, right? I don't need to fight about that today. Do you know that worry isn't from God? It's a battle sometimes we face. Well, I worry so much about them. You don't look more like a saint. Who told you worrying was going to make you look godly? It doesn't. God is not into worry. He leaves worry. That's why if you're going to worry, don't pray. Amen. And if you're going to pray, don't worry. Amen. And so Jesus said this about worry. He starts this passage about worrying about stuff of this earth that has us so messed up on how we bank because it doesn't work out for us on this earth and it's not supposed to. Thank God, it's not supposed to. We have heaven to look forward to. In Matthew 6:25, therefore I tell you, do not worry about life, what you will eat, about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food. What are we going to eat after church? Yeah. Yeah, amen. You're hungry. You know, the level of an animal, because I've had some animals in my home. My dog. Dogs. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I have a dog named Joe, and the reason why he's called Joe is because I renamed him. His name was Jojo. But I don't like calling him that because that sounds like he's a male dog. So you call him, don't call him Jojo. And so I call him Joe. And he answers to Joe. Now Joe is deaf. So I got to really shout. And Joe is blind because he's old. Amen. But you know one thing for certain about Joe? He's going to eat. He sniffs his way to the bowl and he eats his food. He may run into the wall a little bit and he... Yeah, God bless Joe, amen. As long as he's not walking off a cliff, amen. Mr. Magoo, he's going to be okay. We keep him safe. We love on Joe, amen. He can't hear very well. He's just at that age. We're taking care of him in his old age. But yeah, he still knows how to eat. He knows how to bother me when I haven't fed him. Because he walks a bunch around and he's a... And I know he's hungry and that sort of thing. I got to feed that. See, the level of an animal is all we're worried about is food. We're not worried about the kingdom of God. We're not concerned about the kingdom of God today. So body is more than clothes. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow. They do not reap or store barns up for barns. Yet your heavenly Father, he feeds them. You're more than the birds. You're God's child, right? Are you much more valuable than they are? Somebody say, yes, I am. Hey, hit your neighbor or tap them lightly on the shoulder and say, you're more valuable than the birds. Second choice, just tell them, just go like this to them. If you didn't want to look at them, just second choice, go like that. Give them something of hope, amen. Verse 27, can any one of you, by worry, add a single hour to your life? Reset prayer and your reset to prayer to worry. Reset prayer your worries away. That didn't sound right, but I said it better in the first service. Amen. Y'all are messing me up here. I don't know why. It's me. Yeah. I keep thinking about those cats. Amen. They're going to evolve with thumbs, I heard. That's going to be scary. Yeah. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, the New King James Version, this is the way God always wanted for you to make the most of your life when He created you. At the very beginning, the apex of His creation, after He created the birds of the air, the mountains, the clouds, He said, let's make now our best, something in our own image. And so God said, let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness. And you are in the likeness of God, in the image of God. Do you know you're the only creature? You're the only being that He created that can look up. I know I've seen things look up, but that you're looking up for hope. God created you that way. You know you're the only one of His creation that can blush. Oh, you embarrassed me. You sang happy birthday to me and brought me a cake. You turned all red. You know how you get like that? Nobody else gets like that? Amen. Nobody brought you a cake today? You alone possess a personality. You have morality in you. You have a spiritual being in you. No other being has that except you. You were created in the image of God. That's why you're so special. When God made you, He broke the mold, man. There's nobody else like you. You're very special. Amen. And y'all love that in this church, right, everybody? Yeah. And so the way the facial expressions that you have, nobody else can make that. I've never seen a dog get like what I have. I've seen a cat do that. And go take that back. But the facial expressions of joy, hope, amen. Even a baby has that, right? When they're toddlers and they run with that pure joy. God created that in you, in His likeness, in His image, because you're. And it says this about you: let them have dominion. Somebody say dominion. Dominion. That means you're ruling. You have your kingdom authority to rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth. You walk in your authority, and over the creeping things, over all the creeps, you have authority. Amen. The second thought about reset is this: reset to get free. Amen. I got to get free again because I've been caught up in these things. Christopher Robin, he has a very important job, don't we all? He had a briefcase full of everything in that briefcase. He lost that briefcase, that was it. And he loses his security, which was his briefcase. I don't know what it is with you, it's probably your phone. And he's in this mid-level management job for a luggage company after World War II. And he's, you know, set him that time. And he doesn't know what to do, and they have to go find this suitcase with all the papers that are important. And so they're about to take this trip in the story to go on a weekend getaway. And the boss comes to Christopher and he says, you got to trim the budget. We need 20%, and you got to do this. And so it looks like you're going to work all weekend. And he just planned this getaway with his family. And so his wife already knows his routine and his MO. And she doesn't even pack a suitcase because she knows the outcome of his busyness and how he's too busy. And Evelyn tells him, look, she said, life is happening right now in front of you. Because she shows him Madeline, his little girl. And the little girl is disappointed too, and she goes away sulking that daddy's not going to be with her because he's working too much. And so I think of being set free. Sometimes it maybe is not our jobs or our career, but sometimes our habits. We get this habit in our lives and it's not a good habit and it kills us. See, everything that God created for you to do, it's a good thing. Social media, it's a good thing. It's good. It's a useful tool. But some of us are so into our social media so much we don't have time for God. We don't prioritize our time. We don't have time for morning devotions because the first thing that we open up, if the first thing that you open up is your Facebook or Twitter account or whatever, but if that's the first thing that you do while you're sitting down, and you know what I'm talking about, then you're addicted. That's an unhealthy habit that you have. It really is. And you're caught up in something that it could be so useful to you, but it's taken you and it's made it into a bondage in your life today. And I'm not getting any good amen, so I know I'm pushing on something today. Amen? Amen. Some of us have a drinking habit. And everyone that loves you, I don't have a drinking habit. No, I can put it down anytime. I'm not addicted to that either. I can do that. I'm not addicted to that substance. But everybody that loves you knows that you have a drinking problem or a substance abuse problem. And everybody that loves you know that you have a problem with that, and yet you don't even realize that that habit is, the devil is right there holding your big toe and dragging you and making you do the things that you do, and you don't want to do that today. Yeah, football's real big, and the Spurs are real big in San Antonio. And so I got this habit of when the Spurs and the Cowboys, by the way, this is my morning, I'm mourning right now, the Dallas Cowboys, because they let me down again on Thanksgiving Day. The whole family was together. We were watching the Cowboy game, but thank God the Spurs won. But why do I let a group of 20-something-year-olds that run up and down the field, maybe they're 32 if they get a little bit older, Jason Witten, 40 almost, but all these, why do I let a group of 30-year-olds or these young men dictate my emotions? All they're doing is running up and down the court, and if they lose, I get messed up about it. My emotions get messed up about it. I know you're not like me, amen, but y'all need to pray for your pastor today, amen? How about you're getting free of your debt? Yeah. Instead of the season of increasing debt and putting everything on a credit card and living the wrong way, we increase our debt so much. Why don't you get out of debt this Christmas season and buy simple gifts and love people and spend time instead of increasing the debt ceiling in your life today? Jesus knows that you have reasons to fear, that we're skittish when it comes to fear about the future, that we have to do this, and that we want to even keep our bondage today. But Jesus is saying, hey, get free. And in Matthew 6:31, he talked about this fear that we have about worry. He said, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Because I'm worried about that, and it's a fear. What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. In other words, God already knows. Prayer has a way. Prayer has a way. If you pray, to push down walls in your life. But you have to pray. You have to take the time to, because prayer can change everything, but you have to pray. I can pray for you, and that's good agreement, but there's this time that is personal intercession that you do maybe in your living room. I love when we pray here, but there's nothing like a personal prayer time that you can have in your own living room, in your own bedroom, or with your family, in agreement with your wife, and you pray with each other and pray. You can pray walls of self-doubt in your life today away, self-righteousness away. There's self-unbelief, walls of unbelief that rise up like, I've tried that and I keep failing. Don't give up. Keep praying. God will be with you. He answers prayer. You're not an orphan. God's not going to leave you. Pray the walls of fear down today. What if my kids, you think, what if my kids don't become Christians? What if they don't walk with God? And you need to take the promises of God and enforce them in your home and speak them over that child's pillow, over their walls, that they're going to come to Christ in the name of Jesus, and they're going to serve God today. Amen? Yeah, what if the walls of mistrust rise up? Why did they look at me that way? Oh, because you were wearing a big hat. They're looking at you that way. No. Why did they look at me? Y'all are too serious today. Why did they talk to me that way? I don't know. Maybe they're having a bit, but pull those walls down. You are loved in God. People love you. Amen. I love you. God loves you. Amen. Well, they didn't shake my hand. Well, why don't you get up and shake somebody's hand? Amen. Oh, here we go. Amen, 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 and amen. Prayer is powerful. And if you use God's promises, His Bible promises, and mix them with prayer, you will be undefeated. Amen. You will have trouble, but you'll rise up again. Work the Word. Let it work in you. Amen. God, remove the walls from my life in the name of Jesus. Come on. Yeah. Yeah, remove them all, Lord. Don't quit. Amen. God is changing your heart right now. Amen. In James chapter 4, it speaks of, not on your handout, but about confession. That God heals us, but He does it because we are healed by talking to one another. And there's no better time in this church than to join a small group. Because right now, only one big dog is talking, me. But when you get in a small group, all the big dogs can talk. Amen? And so we had Man Up Monday, and we're all talking around the table as we're eating hamburgers. And you could have joined us if you were a man, amen, and broke your diet for that one day, right? And things start to happen. You know what starts to happen? We start confessing to each other as men. We start saying, you know what? We did it in a small group. We can't do that in a big group. And it even gets more isolated than that. I need to be a little bit transparent. No, I'm going to get in trouble. I'm not going to say that. I'm going to go on. I know y'all want it, but too much. You should have. Maybe you come back next week, I'll say it. Amen. God will move in a better way. Amen. He ain't moving right now. I can tell you that right now. No. Small group sign-up table right there at the Welcome Center table. You can go sign up and be part of fellowship immediately this week if you take the time. Well, I don't like any of those groups. Well, you know what? If you're a leader, you can start your own group. I'll qualify you. Come see me. We'll talk. You'll get qualified. And what is it that you enjoy? You'll gather other people that will be with you. Life is better together. Amen? Amen. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says this, Therefore, since we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, and I believe Len O'Hodge is there right now. He was a man of faith. He was a man of endurance. And he's that witness for us. I did it. I finished my race. Now you got to finish. Let us throw off everything that hinders us. By the way, when the Hebrew writer wrote this, the runners at that time that were the postal service or the FedEx people at that time bringing messages, they ran completely naked. They invented streaking back in the, right? So if we saw that today, we'd put them in jail. But back then, when the Apostle Paul, they didn't want anything to hinder them running the race so they could finish the assignment that they had. Today, we have that second skin or the pants that you wear or whatever. Thank God they don't make those for men. Give me a good amen. Yeah. So it says that sin so easily entangles us. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us today. God has set before you, beloved, each a race, your race that you must run today. And He wants you to run. But more importantly, listen, He wants you to finish. Finish the race, right, everybody? There are characters in the Bible that have a reset, that they did their own reset. Remember how King David lost his son? His son died at birth. Terrible loss. Personal tragedy. How did he reset? It's in the Bible. He had to get up again. He had to wash his face. He had to go to the Lord and pray. He had to seek God. When Esther, she was fearful about her whole nation being annihilated. You know what she did? She prayed and fast. How did she get out? How did she reset? When you fear, maybe you're going to have to pray and fast. Amen? Amen. Elijah, when he was depressed and wanted to die, and he told the Lord, take my life, I want to die. You know how he reset out of depression? He prayed, he sought God, and God gave him another assignment today. He filled himself up, he rested, he ate, and he reset his button. Today, you make a decision that you're not going to let anything keep you down, that you're going to go forward in God by faith. You're going to pray, you're going to fast if necessary. You're going to get involved in a small group because that's what Christians do. They confess to each other. And God heals them. You can't confess to everybody, but you can confess to those ones that you trust today. Number three, reset to the presence of Christ. There are relationships that pull you down. And they don't need to pull you down anymore. And God wants to reset your life today that they're lifting you up. And if you can't be around that person or those people for a season, then get away from them. It's okay. You can go back to them when you get stronger. Relationships that take us away from God aren't godly. Do you understand that today? You want somebody to provoke you to godly things. Don't go there. Amen? Leave there. There are relationships that begin to draw us closer to God, and those are the ones that we need. You need good church relationships. You need to find someone within this church or your circle of influence that love you, that tell you the truth and speak to you in love today. Amen? There's a great small group that's going to begin under the leadership of Alex and Lisa Copeland. It's going to be on Friday nights coming in January. And it's called the 7 Love Languages. And they'll begin. It's a small group. There's no reason why you can't rekindle or keep your marriage on the top shelf next to God, that God will do something in your marriage today by coming and being part. And you're going to say, man, we have trouble in our marriage. That person's going to walk in. Somebody's going to say that? Probably. And if this thing doesn't work, we don't know. We're going to probably head towards divorce. And you know what everybody's going to tell you? I guarantee that. I guarantee what they'll tell you. The rest of the small group, they're going to tell you something like this. We were just like that. And God came in and saved our marriage. God saved us. And God, now we've never been more. Do we have trouble? Yes. But because we've learned from each other. Amen. You'll find out that people are just like you in a small group. Amen. That they need God. Right. And we're all weird. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Everybody, amen. Except you, amen. Looking at me that way. I see you looking at me. Amen. Jesus, be the center of my life. Reorder so I can have the presence of God in my life today. Amen. That famous scripture, but it sounds different because it's in the Passion Edition of Matthew chapter 6. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added to you. So the Passion Translation, it says this. So above all, consistently chase after the realm of God's kingdom. That means the dominion that you have, the rulership that you have. When you moved in to your neighborhood, it got better because God's kingdom arrived. You're His child, amen? When you came to church, amen, other saints were here, but God's kingdom is here in this church. And the righteousness that proceeds from Him. Then all the less important things, no, it's so important that we do that. Is it loving God and loving people? Then it's not. Is it loving God, loving people, loving your family, loving people? Then it's not. It's less important. It's a little rock. So it can wait. Then all these, I got to keep my job. You know what I've never seen? I've never seen a person, listen to me, that honors God and then doesn't honor his wife. I've never seen a person that honors God and then his job isn't even better and more secure and they can't do without that guy because he's honoring God. It's a given. You're going to honor God. You're going to love your wife. It's a given. You're going to love God. You're going to honor your husband. You're going to bless your husband. It's a given. You're going to honor God and put him in the first place. You're going to be a great neighbor. Amen. You're going to be a great employee. Give me a good amen. Amen. But it's putting the big rocks in first, right, everybody? Choir's pushing on me. They're telling me, preach it. Really? Come on, y'all guys, come on, cut it out. You're making me blush. Yeah. Jesus wasn't so concerned about worrying because I think we're human. But he's saying, man, replace that worry with a habit of the kingdom of God, that the kingdom of God is your priority, that you're serving God. Amen? That there's a greater passion and a greater habit, not worry, but kingdom of God agenda, stuff in your life today. Amen? And so Christopher Robin, in the movie here, it ends well, by the way. It's not a horror movie. Winnie the Pooh doesn't die. Thank God. Amen. It's not a slasher film, right? Eeyore is still probably depressed a little bit, but even him, nobody pays attention to him because he needs to get out of himself. In this movie clip, you'll see his family come back to the 100-acre forest. You'll see them come back to the time that Christopher used to dream. And you'll notice the last words that Pooh and Christopher, in that earshot that they have, they're sitting on a log, how they're talking. I believe God can talk to you. We'll show this clip right now.
Oh, boy, it's good to be home.
Oh, I suppose so. Weather's too nice.
Where have you all been? I was about to mount a search party.
Hello.
Who's that man?
That's a little girl. I believe that's a Madeline.
Ah, Christopher Robin. You've brought guests.
Welcome to 100 Acre Wood.
Rabbit, it's tea.
I beg your pardon.
You don't get this in London.
Keep north, Christopher.
How will you have some tea?
Well, is it the way I like it?
Just say yes or no, Tavis. Come on, Madeline. I'm going to show you how to bounce. You're going to jump real high. You're just going to die.
Thank you, and well, I'm my wife. Christopher Robin, what day is it?
It's today.
Oh, my favorite day.
Mine too. Mine too.
Yesterday, when it was tomorrow, it was too much day for me.
Silly little bear.
Thank you, Alex. Great movie. Today is my favorite day. Amen. Yesterday, there was too much day because it was going to be tomorrow. And I know I butchered that, but you know what I'm trying to say, right? Yeah. Yeah. Make a choice to have that conversation. Pooh had it with Robin, and we have it with God. We're not going to have a shouting match with the Lord. We're going to have that still, small voice. It's not going to come probably from a clap of thunder or through a hurricane. We've known that through the Old Testament. But when all the shaking is done, God is there and He's speaking to you because you've stilled yourself long enough to hear somebody's voice that's important, God's voice, your wife's voice, your husband's voice. Because you settle down, you hear your children's voice, and you hear those that are most important, and you hear a small, still voice in your life today. And God is attuning His ear, or we're attuning our ear to God today. Amen. In Psalm 16:11, the final scripture, King David is writing and he's telling us this. Why don't you read it out loud? You haven't had any fun all day. Would you confess this with me today? Would we declare it out loud? Yes? Amen. Here we go on three. On three. One, two, three. You will show me in your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand is pleasures forevermore. The right hand, when King David spoke of it, was the kingly hand, the king, the anointing, the hand of favor. I don't know why they didn't use the left, but that they didn't use, you lefties, not that you were left out, but God uses the right hand. And on that right hand, He bestows blessing. And I have to believe that God, even the right hand pulls you closer and He speaks to you. And at the right hand is the presence of joy. And what's real important is real important because it's said in a whisper, not in a shout to you. That's how much God wants to speak to you tenderly, intimately to you today. Each one of us that love each other in this room know what that whisper is about when we speak to each other in those loving tones today. Amen. I pray that you're close enough to God today that you can hear the whisper. I pray that somebody will whisper in your ear today that they love you because you're real important to everybody in this room today. Amen. You wouldn't leave this room today without being known that you're loved today. And if you happen to, because some of us are like too mark every eye, dot every I, cross every T, and you need to get over that too. Maybe you need to tell somebody that you love them. Because what you do for somebody else, God will make happen for you. Amen? Amen. May your life be full of love today. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that we would reset our faith and we would go back to the closeness that we had with you at one point in our spiritual walk. Lord, we have to confess that the daily grind can move the passion that we once had for you out of our lives. And so right now we want to make confession to you, God, that if the cares of this world have choked the joy out of our walk with you, Lord, we don't want that anymore. Lord, let my heart turn towards you at this very moment. Let me fix my eyes on you. Let me fix my heart on you today. Help me to reset my faith in life starting right now in the name of Jesus this week, Lord. Renew my heart. Renew my life towards you and your ways. Thank you, Lord. I submit my Monday to you. I submit the rest of my week towards you today. Amen. Thank you for being in my life every day, Lord. Thank you in the name of Jesus. As I continue to pray and your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, I always want to give you an opportunity to receive Christ as your Savior. And you're far away from God. You were once close, but you realize now, and it's been that convicting, that Holy Spirit within you that won't let you go because God has this moment of favor right now. He's saying, come home, come back to the place that you used to be. Come back and experience what I meant to you in my walk and how you had joy once. You've never received Christ as your Savior today. We serve a God that has redeemed and can redeem your life, even the past. You have a past, we all do. He can redeem you right now at this very moment. He can even take care of your future because He died for your sins today. Jesus did that. All the things that you've done wrong, God can give you a clean slate. If that's you right now at this very moment, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm just going to ask that your hand slightly lifted. I'll note it right where you're at. That will be your altar. I won't call you up, won't make you stand, but right where you're at, would you lift your hand if that's you right there? You'll pray a prayer. Anyone in the sanctuary today, just lifting their hand saying, I need to acknowledge Jesus. God bless you. I see your hand. You can put it down, my sister. Somebody else. Making sure we had one. Making sure. Just making sure. God stopped everything so we could bring one life to Christ today. Amen. God stopped it. He said, that one person. And we're not, this is what we do at Living Faith Church. We introduce our best friend to somebody right now. Jesus. So we pray this prayer. My sister, you lifted your hand. You pray this out loud, loud enough that you can hear it. The sinners that are saved by grace and the chief sinner right now that's preaching right now, we're going to pray this prayer out loud. Let's pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, redeem me. Save me from my sins. I've done shameful things before you, before people on this earth. But your blood saves me from every one of those shameful acts. It saves me from my past, my present, my future. The blood of Jesus makes me new again and clean. Thank you, Lord. Now fill the people of the Lord with your Spirit. Fill them afresh right now. Thank you, Lord. Now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you, and may the Lord give you His peace. Amen. God is looking towards you right now, and it's a face of love. God has His face towards you, and He loves each and every one of you. Come on, let's bless the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. What a Savior. What a King. We love you, Lord, with all of our hearts today. If you came to Christ and rededicated your life to Christ today, there's a connection card in front of you. Please fill that out. I also want to invite you personally. If you need a new beginning with your spiritual walk, go back to the Growing in Faith class. Diane Ruiz will probably be at the Welcome Center. She'll tell you all about it. She'll sign you up and be part of that today. The last slide I need to tell you about as I quickly move on, and our worship team, y'all can come and help me finish out the service right now, is very important. On December 22nd, it's our Christmas service. It's called the Legacy Offering, because what we do is every year we come together and we receive a special offering above and beyond our tithe. Everything that's not earmarked will go towards the legacy. And legacy does this. It outlives us. It outdoes the things that we wanted to do in our lives. One lady got a hold of it in her testimony last year to Irma and I was this. I wanted to do something with my offering of legacy because I want it to go on. I want my children to be saved. I want my family to be saved. Did she have trouble this year? Of course she did, just like you, just like I did. But she did something of faith, and I guarantee you she has a testimony about what she did that was significant that day. Is it about money? No. It's about helping organizations. What we'll do is take that money and we sow it into three organizations that are making a difference for Christ on the earth. Amen. And so we'll do the hard work of finding it. Your job, if you have a job of this, is, I hate to use wrong words, why don't you pray about it? You will pray about it. Irma and I are praying about it. I never ask you to do something that we won't do. And we'll ask the Lord, what is it that we're supposed to bring back on December 22nd as we celebrate Christmas at this church today? Amen. The last slide is this one. This is the way that you give today, and we'll show it to you. There's several ways to give. You can text to give. I used that this morning. You can give 24/7 on the website. You can give 24/7 text to give also. You can give by check debit right outside. You can give by the old-fashioned way, right out of check. You can do it all. Amen. God bless the generosity of this church. God bless His people just like you and I. Amen. Let's pray for the tithe and offering if it's in your hand today. Hold it in your hand. If you're giving by phone, hold the phone in your hand. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the gift and the giver. I thank you, God, for the generosity. These are the most generous people that I know on the planet, the Living Faith Church. Thank you, God. Bless them. Provide for them this week, God. Thank you, God, for what you're doing. It's a testimony to the world for what you're doing in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet and sing the song of the Lord.